This is a Travel Channel podcast.
Winning consistently at poker is one thing, but don't plan on beating the house on a regular basis. As the popular Vegas expression goes, they didn't build this town on winners. Sooner or later, you're bound to lose a few. Unless, of course, you happen to be in Sheldon Adelson's shoes. For this casino boss and Las Vegas business icon, every hand he plays seems to come up aces.
There's my hotel right over there. That's yesterday's news. I'm now thinking about what the next tower that I'm going to put up. I'm going to put another 3,000-room tower there. That'll give me approximately 7,200 rooms. That'll by far be the largest hotel in the world.
The old Vegas has died. Traces of its colorful past have given way to a strip of mega hotels, owned not by characters with a shady past, but by mega corporations. Yet within this sea of neon and billion-dollar facades, one man is taking a piece of the corporate pie and striking out on his own.
Frankly, if I were a visitor coming to Las Vegas, I'd stay at the Bellagio until I knew that the Venetian was there. Then I'd stay at the Venetian.
Sheldon Adelson has used his own money to build the $1.2 billion Venetian Hotel and Casino, becoming the only man on the Strip to own one of these giant resorts outright. Adelson is a man who commands respect. A powerful casino owner, constantly flanked by bodyguards and personal assistants. He rules the hotel and casino as the Doge of historical Venice had total control of their domain. Even the smallest details don't escape his gaze.
Well, this looks pretty good. How come you don't put the booths closer together so you can get more booths in here?
Well, you know what? The floor plan with the aisle size, I think, is something we've tried to keep consistent throughout the full show. Our operations department has done a good job on laying out a nice, even floor plan.
Yeah, but if you turn away exhibitors that want to come in.
Well, we haven't turned away any exhibitors.
You haven't turned away any exhibitors?
No,
okay.
We have not turned away any exhibitors.
Yep.
People are constantly seeking an audience with this casino mogul. And he is surprisingly approachable.
Nice to see you. What are you doing nowadays?
Not much.
Running a Vegas casino is a risky business. And it leaves the man who put his personal fortune at risk very little idle time.
Hi, Dan. How are you? Okay, sorry to keep you waiting.
First on the agenda this morning, a meeting with his investment bankers.
Sheldon, first thing is...
First thing is, you want too much interest? Second thing is, it's amazing. You want to get paid back. I mean, since when was that part of the deal?
We just like to get extended so we earn more and more fees. That's
right, okay. Just extend it.
Money is an ongoing theme in Vegas. Whether you've got it, and how you're going to risk it. Never one to shy away from a gamble if he believes it will pay off. Adelson's latest play for scooping some of the enormous tourist dollars is to build two new art museums within the walls of his already palatial hotel and casino.
This is your baby.
Right.
I mean, you're, in a way, you know, a throwback to the old hoteliers of Vegas, you know, who really took it seriously and made it personal.
Well, I'm a throw forward to the new visionaries.
There you go.
The big question is a Vegas audience, used to showgirls and slot machines, ready for two new highbrow art museums? This is a move that ranks among the riskiest of Adelson's life.
I mean, how's somebody going to come up and say, listen, I came up with a better idea than getting the two of the finest museums in the world to come here and display a couple of billion dollars worth of art every 6 months? You know, I mean, what are they going to do that gets better? Bring in a Broadway show or something? I mean, you know, give me a break. Why don't I hop on one of these and we'll just have a short ride? I think this exhibit was made for Las Vegas. I think Las Vegas audience was made to come to see this. It will meet my expectations when I see the cash register at the end of the day. We'll find out about that, but I have every confidence that it will.
When word of Sheldon Adelson's plan to bring high art to Vegas hit the Strip, his critics said he was throwing his money away. Despite that, the ever-defiant entrepreneur followed his own instincts. He's used to big gambles. After all, it's the casino bosses themselves that have the most to lose.
Well, we're a little different than all the other guys, so it makes us, you know, what's happening to us a little more interesting. My specialty is really to challenge the status quo. Look at an industry, and when people answer that they're doing things the way they do them because everybody does it that way, or because they've been doing it that way the whole time they've been in business, when I hear answers like that, I know there's an opportunity to do something better and to add value. When I do something better, I'm adding value, and I can protect the business that I set up.
In a city where gambling was king, he chose to look beyond the traditional weekend visitor to Vegas, focusing instead on the business traveler, the one with an expense account and a bit of spare time to have some fun.
The competitors were very leery of the stranger that they knew as a convention specialist coming into town and, quote, telling them what to do. I really didn't want to come and tell them anything. I wanted to come in and learn how to do things, but since I was Las Vegas' biggest customer, you know, I knew what it is they were doing right, and I knew what it is they were doing wrong.
20 years ago, he created Comdex, a tiny gathering of computer enthusiasts, which would eventually become the largest trade show in the world. Its massive growth led Adelson to create the biggest private convention facility anywhere, the Sands Expo Center.
Well, our market is clear and unmistakable. We're in the group market, in the convention market. Clear and unmistakable. We're actually in three different markets. Number one, we're in the group market. And number two, we're in the leisure traveler market. And number three, we're in the player market. But every other property in the Strip is in the player market. But there are only a few properties at the player level that we're at the high end of the market. There aren't many properties that will allow a player to sit down at a baccarat table and put $150,000 on one bet.
Oh, no.
We will aggressively go after the $150,000 hand player, as we will go after a trade show that brings in 100,000 people. The gambling is an important part of our business. But we created our business so that if the gambling doesn't pull its share, that we make it up with the group business and the sale of the rooms. Our gross income is about $700 million a year, which is very good. We're only at $700 million, we would fit into Fortune 500.
3 years after selling Comdex for almost $900 million in 1995, Adelson opened the $1.2 billion Venetian Hotel, one of the biggest and most elaborate casino resorts on the Strip.
The presidential suite is truly fit for a president. The whole suite's about 5,500 to 6,000 square feet. It's really beautiful, and it caters to the fantasies of high rollers, and this is the way they want to live, like royalty. President Bush came in here, and he put his arm around me, and he said, Sheldon, he said, it's too bad your media room only holds about 18 to 20 people, he said. You have to be a risk taker, and you have to be able to undergo the consequences of taking the risk. And you got to know how to get up when you fail. So when you fail and you fall down, what does it take to get up again and to try again? But there's a lot of people that don't want to fall, and there's a lot of people that don't want to face having to get up again once they fall. They'd rather just throw their hands up in the air and say, I quit, that's it, I don't want to go through this again. And I never want to do that. I don't think I've ever done that in my life.
Taking a risk in private is one thing. Taking a risk in front of the world's press is another. This morning, Adelson is about to face the critical eye of the media as they focus on his latest gamble, the Guggenheim Museum, built within the walls of his replica city.
That's it. That's my flag. Coming into this city as an outsider, not being swaddled on a green felt cloth, that is, not being born in the casino industry, people were skeptical.
Do you think of this as an experiment, or do you consider...
No, it's not an experiment at all. I consider it an accomplishment. The Art of the Motorcycle is one of the most significant architectural masterpieces to grace not just the Las Vegas Strip or the state of Nevada, but possibly one of the most significant structures in all of America.
The sales pitch is over. Now all the Adelsons can do is sit back and let everyone else take stock.
Shift all the media around to the other side.
What this crowd has to say, in print and on television, will have much to do with whether or not this $50 million gamble will pay off.
I think the Guggenheim in Las Vegas is really appropriate because I think it speaks to the ultimate diversity that Las Vegas is. Las Vegas is a place where there are no rules.
I think Sheldon Adelson and his team at the Venetian have an extraordinary ability to go beyond the normal. The great ability to marry extraordinary works of art in the circumstances that we have here in Las Vegas.
The excitement in the room is a good sign, but it will be a few weeks, perhaps months, before the true measure of success in the form of gate receipts are tallied up. The gallery will need several thousand visitors a day to break even, a tall order in a town known for anything but high art. For now, Sheldon and his wife put on their best face and get ready for the opening of what they hope will be another Las Vegas landmark, the Hermitage, first thing tomorrow.
For a guy that hasn't, that doesn't have any higher education, and came from the slums, from a family that had, that was too poor to start off with rags to, so I could be, create a rags to riches story. It comes naturally not to give up.
This morning, Sheldon is about to unveil yet another risk-taking adventure at his strip-based property, the opening of a fine art museum. The pressure in front of the media glare is great. He fine-tunes the premiere right up until the final moment.
Yeah, but I can't do that because the way he wrote it, it didn't come out good.
Right, but today I think you can do a similar thing, thanking the Russians, thanking the vision of them to come to Las Vegas, and what obviously is it's a gutsy play by Piotrowski, and he's taking a big risk of doing it. That kind of thing.
Yep. Nothing will get in my way. Everything that I can do to accomplish that objective, I'm going to do. I think it's persistence. And I think it's staying with your own convictions and not to be discouraged. It cost me almost $50 million to do it. Now, you're talking about incredible art here. I mean, art that when I saw them unpacking it, I mean, I almost got tears in my eyes at looking at some of those pieces.
This is indeed new territory for a Las Vegas casino, more accustomed to craps than Kandinsky, roulette than Renoir.
It's more than what I anticipated. The acceptance of this was immediate. My original anticipation was a lot of skepticism. Proposed this to somebody 10 or 20 years ago, they'd laugh at you. I don't think anybody's laughing now. What I said this morning, I don't think anybody could do one better.
Despite all the fanfare, Sheldon is never far, in his own mind at least, from the next big challenge. He's always prepared to tackle a new business in his own way, the minute the one he's in becomes routine.
If it wasn't fun, I don't need the practice. I can afford to close up shop and go home and live happily ever after. And otherwise, I don't think I'm ever going to retire. I'm just too much of an entrepreneur. I mean, the entrepreneurial blood is flowing through my veins. However, I need to be what I call intellectually stimulated. And if I don't get that in the hotel casino business, I'll get it into some other business.
Perhaps it's that winning spirit, or maybe the risk-taking itself, that drives this city. Whether laying out millions to bring high art to the Strip, or simply taking a seat in a big-money bingo hall, optimism is a basic requirement for survival in Vegas. Perhaps it's the American dream at its most outrageous, the very idea of defying the odds that draws some people here to stay, and it is in their stories we find the true heart of the city.
With Jubilee. Listen, one of the invited guests for the second show didn't RSVP.
Behind the scenes of every show, twice a night, six nights a week, every week for 20 years, Fluff LeCoe has earned her reputation.
I mean, you have to work all the time, and you have to keep up going to class. You have to keep yourself in shape all the time.
I'm just really impressed with Fluff. I mean, she's been in this business, which is a very hard business to stay in, for decades and decades, and she's changed with the times. She knows what works and what doesn't work, and it's lasted for so long. This show has been going on forever.
You look fabulous. Thank you. So do you. Okay, we ready, kids?
I'm ready.
Her show, Jubilee, is a Las Vegas landmark extravaganza, and Fluff is its grand matriarch, watching over the elaborate production with a mother's careful eye.
Wait a minute. 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, that foot comes down. You should aim for perfection. There's no such thing, but you have to aim for it. There. Okay, that's it. It's like a family, you know. Some get along, some don't get along. They argue, and then they make up. You know, it's a family. Relax your fingers, Roberta. Hang down like that, they look like a bunch of bananas. Okay? And I'm the grandmother.
One of the worst aspects of her job is that she has to fire dancers, and she has. At the moment, due to terminations and people leaving, there are some dancer roles that are open and have to be filled. Fluff begins the arduous task of weeding through the hopefuls.
No pressure.
She's looking for talent, of course, but also an ability to learn the steps quickly.
Okay. Well, she's got the fan kicks and the pirouettes and the... Do you tap?
The whole process is a daunting experience for a small-town girl, especially one barely old enough to drive a car.
How old are you?
18.
Okay. Is your mother willing to let you come down here to work?
Oh, yes. She's like, go.
Get out of my hair? No. Stand with your feet on the floor and your heels.
At times, a dancer is like any other product that you're shopping for. In this case, they have to meet measurement standards. 5'8" is the minimum height.
She's, 5'7". Okay, thank you. Well, I'll have to let you know. As you know, we're auditioning this weekend, so I won't know until probably the 2nd. She needs to get out and get into some shows. And 18 is a little young, I think. They're really young to be in this town.
The first audition didn't pan out for either party. Fluff has announced an open call, hoping she'll find her diamond in the rough in the next group of dancers. Meanwhile, Anthony has arrived in Vegas from Atlantic City and begins to prepare for his group of high rollers, little knowing what will happen next. Fluff is looking for her own good luck in the form of four good dancers out of the many that have begun to gather on the rehearsal stage.
Let's do the ballet combination. Gentlemen, please come to center stage and learn this combination, please.
In one of America's entertainment capitals, you'd think your search for talent would be easy, but it's not.
You just know, you know, she's in charge and she's running things. So it was intimidating at first.
At Bally's, the auditions are continuing. With nearly 100 dancers in the show Jubilee, turnover is inevitable. Some resign, others are asked to leave, and occasionally for surprising reasons. Like the time Fluff caught one of her own girls taking off work to dance in a strip club.
I just moved into a seat and leaned on the counter like this, and this girl turned around the pole, and then she bent over with her legs spread apart and looked at me through her legs, okay? Here I am looking at her, and I'm saying, you're fired.
You got it all filled out?
I got it all filled out.
This morning, Fluff will be looking at dozens of new dancers from as far away as Russia and as nearby as suburban Las Vegas. The range of talent is just as wide.
Hi, Ken. You're 19, huh?
Yes.
You need a bit more training.
Yeah, I'm still going at it.
You're still going at it, yeah. But just keep at it, okay? Because you have potential. Good sell, I saw that. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you're a little short for us. Yvonne, I won't be able to keep you as much as I would like to. I want you to come back tomorrow.
Okay.
I can't hire you yet. Yeah. Don't cut your hair, don't shave or anything. Can you come back tomorrow? I won't be able to take you this time around, okay?
Next up, it's the girls. Fluff knows she needs to hire at least one or two from the group.
You did?
I know right away when I see them whether they're the right thing that I'm looking for.
Okay, girls, stop a minute. Stop.
I'm going to have to eliminate some of you now because there's just no chance. A couple of girls up there that had possibilities. I mean, they just weren't in shape. Makes me angry because a real dancer is always in shape. How would you like to go to a show and see somebody in a bra and a bikini on stage looking like that?
Choosing somewhere to play in Vegas can be as tough as beating the odds at the blackjack table. Hundreds of venues are vying for your gambling and entertainment money. Here on the Strip, staying in business means staying at least one step ahead of the competition.
What I'm concerned about is the height of the kicks.
Okay.
It's one reason why Fluff's standards for Vegas dancers are so high. After all, she helped set them many years ago during her own career on stage.
This is me in a terry cloth bikini. I was Miss Thunderbird Hotel, and that was the first bikini in Las Vegas. I was on 18 magazine covers at one time. Legs look pretty good there. Yeah, I did have good legs. When it came time for me to stop dancing, and you know when it's time for you to stop dancing, it wasn't difficult for me to make the transition.
From dancer to show manager, Fluff Lacoe made it look easy. And in a town where the only constant is change, she has managed to preserve Jubilee in almost original form.
It's a great show. It is classic. It's what people used to expect to see when they came to Las Vegas.
Since it opened in July of 1981, Jubilee has packed the 1,000-plus seat theater at Bally's every show. More than 8 million people have seen the production, one of the longest running in Vegas history.
It's been preserved, basically, you know, what it was when it first started, which is amazing. There's nothing out here anymore like it.
The credit for staging a contemporary revue with a classic Vegas feel goes to Fluff. She's been here long enough to see Las Vegas reinvent itself many times over.
When I first came here, the Strip was a two-lane road, and there were only two hotels, the Last Frontier Hotel and the El Rancho Vegas. I can remember going to work, and if there was a dust storm, you had to stop your car because it would just peel the paint right off of your car. If there was a sandstorm, because there weren't enough buildings, there was just sand blowing every place. In the daytime, you wore Western clothes. And at night, you dressed to the hilt to go to the casino or to dinner. So that was glamorous. All the hotels are themed now. And there's so much to see that the tourists that come here can't possibly dress up in and walk the Strip to see all these things in high heels. I mean, you'd kill yourself. That is a big, big, big change.
This week, Fluff is trying to complete the changes to her roster of dancers. There's only a limited time frame. The show is about to go into hiatus, and she wants to find the right talent to fill her vacant spots. Over 40 dancers have gone through 2 days of numbing auditions. Most will have nothing to show for it in the end.
This was the worst audition I've ever had. It was very strange, very, very disappointing, because I usually have at least 40 girls. This time, I only had 20 at the most.
New girls join. Older ones quit or get let go. It's an endless cycle for Fluff, one that at times comes with a heavy emotional price.
There may be two girls that I'm going to let go. It's a very difficult decision. It's a very traumatic because you're dealing with people's lives and their livelihood and their egos, and it's difficult to make that decision, and some will never understand. No, they'll just hate me the rest of their lives.
For some, this weekend will be the end of their professional life with Jubilee, while others will begin to blossom under the careful tendering of a woman who has given most of her life to a stage performance.
Yeah, we're gonna.
They came for the auditions yesterday and they asked me to come back today. I thought we were gonna dance today, but I was happy to see that we didn't. We just lined up and then she offered me a job at the end.
Staffing a Vegas show is not as easy as one would suspect in this town. But Fluff is not the person who would compromise the standards that she helped set more than a quarter century ago. It's not in her personality to give up.
Now I have to determine what other people I'm going to hire besides the ones that I have already committed to today, which were only two. And I'm still looking for girls. Boys, I had a good turnout, so I have no problem there, but I'm still missing a lot of girls. I can't go on forever like this. I don't have much life other than work. You know, when you're in charge of people, you can't really be friends, because you never know when you're going to have to reprimand them or let them go. It gets lonely sometimes. However, I certainly can find enough to do around here to keep me busy for now till doomsday.
You've been listening to Casino Diaries on Discovery Channel Radio with Sam O'Neill.